Look at verse number 16, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In verse 17, he said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Ye are yet in your sins. You can know about Jesus and still be in your sins. You can know all about him. You can go to church. You can be a good person. You can be a religious person. You can be a philanthropist, somebody that spends their life doing good deeds and still be in your sins. That's what Paul is talking about, the resurrected Savior. And there's not enough good deeds in the world. If every good man to ever live, you combined all their good works, couldn't get one person in, much less all of them. And I want to preach on that a few minutes this morning, that phrase there that says, ye are yet in your sins. Amen. Most important thing for you to know this morning, I'm not up here trying to talk somebody out of believing that they're saved. I'm not trying to do that. I never have tried to do that. I've never been one of them preachers trying to convince people to not save just so they can get a bunch of people in the altar and brag about it. Amen. I want you to be confident and assured that you are saved. But I want you to know, I don't want you to go through this life. It'd be awful to drift through this life and life goes by so quick. Men Gunner's talking about that out on the porch a while ago. I was telling him about how fast life goes by. Seemed like just yesterday our kids were playing ball, and now, bam, they're all grown up. I don't know where the time went. But my point is this. It would be a terrible crying shame to spend your life on this earth and get right down to the very end of life's way and get ready to cross over and not even know if you're saved or not. My God, man, if there's anything you need to know this morning, it's for a fact that you are saved. Listen, I don't know a whole lot. I ain't the brightest person. I ain't the brightest colored crayon box, so to speak. I know a little bit about a few things. I know a little bit about a lot of things. But I don't know a whole lot about a whole lot of things. But one thing I do know, I know that I'm saved. I know that, brother. You ain't going to talk me out of that. Hey, brother, I might have my doubts about a lot of stuff. And hey, you may hurt me and disappoint me. Hey, man, she might hurt me. He might let me down. But I'll tell you one thing, when I go to bed at night, I know that I've been a failure and a disappointment to my Lord. But I know that I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. I know my name's wrote down in heaven in the Lamb's book of life, that Jesus Christ died for me and I accepted his payment. I know where I'm going when I leave this world. Amen. When I die, you can come up here and cry because you miss me. But don't cry about worrying where I went, Jack. I mean, I know where I'm going. You say you seem confident in yourself. No, you missed it. I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in him and what he did for me. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I want to say, first of all, you're yet in your sins if you have no place. And what I mean by that, there's got to be a place in your life somewhere. Somewhere back in the past, in the back of your mind, there's got to be a place where you stop dead in your tracks and you turn around and you had that turning point in your life and you accepted Christ as your Savior. I was witnessing to a lady one time and she said, well, I don't know about this being saved, man. She said, I've just been saved long back, far back, so I remember. I've just always been saved. And I'm just a young punk and I didn't care. I said, no, you ain't always been saved, sister. You come out of the womb speaking lies just like I did. You was a little baby sinner and you needed to get saved. And there's got to be a place in your life. I know you might not can tell the month or the week or the day or the hour. There's got to be a place in your life where you can remember that you surrender to him. Amen. I remember when it happened to me. I'd been to the altar when I was a kid. I'd run to the altar when everybody else did. But I remember one night, it was in the fall of 1978. Oh, brother, something major happened to me. I mean, brother, something from another world. I mean, something supernatural. I'm not talking about a mind reader or anything like that. I mean, them people's crazy anyway. I'd just like to walk up to one and punch him in the face and say, why didn't you see that coming? Amen, brother. It wasn't nothing like that, but I'm telling you, my life was a wreck, and I fell on my face. His word. He saved me right there. I can take you to the spot and put my knees in the floor where God saved me. Me and Debbie was up there last summer. I was preaching in North Carolina. We just riding around. Went by the cemetery, saw Mom and Daddy's grave, and we went back down to that little old town, and I started showing her where I used to buy beer. I told you this. I'm over. Just bear with me. Amen. I said, that's where I used to buy liquor. That's where I used to buy my pot. And then we went around this little old street and turned right, and I said, I will show you another place. And the little house right over there used to be my daddy's house, right down on Mill Hill, on the side of that hill. I said, I remember that Sunday night like it was yesterday, brother, when I walked in that door and fell on my face right there at the couch, and God gloriously saved me. If you don't have a place, you might still be in your sin. You might still be an old dark-hearted sinner on the way to hell. Hey, there's a lot of good people go to church, but you've heard it your whole life. That don't save you. That don't save you. The prodigal son. You'd say, son, you remember when you got saved? He said, I remember I was there slopping hogs. And I said, I'm going back to Daddy's house. And when I got almost back to the house, Daddy met me. Yes, sir, I remember. And he'd say to that woman of Samaria, do you remember when it happened to you? She'd say, one day about 12 o'clock, I went down to the well to get some water. I met somebody that day. Lord, and God turned my life inside out. He changed me. He made a new creature out of me. You'd ask Zacchaeus, you remember the day that you met the Lord? Did you have a place? He said, yeah, my place was up in a tree. I just a little short fellow. Don't say amen right there. I was a little short fellow. He said, I climbed up in that tree, and the Lamb of God came by, and he looked up at me with those loving eyes and said, come on down, son. I'm coming to your house for supper. I want to tell you something, brother. You can look back at a day, a place and time in your life, and know when Jesus saved you. Thank God if you came, you could still be in your sins. A place of repentance. Number two, you're yet in your sins if you have no peace. I ain't got much of anything. I ain't got much sense. But I sure do got plenty of that. I got a lot of peace, Brother Sam. When I go to bed and I close my eyes, I mean, brother, it storms the bed all night. It woke me up. I just went on back to sleep. Let it rip apart. I don't care. I'll sleep through it, brother. I ain't going to pace the floors and pop nerve pills and live like that. Not when I've got a Savior seated at the right hand of the Father who has all power of heaven and earth in the palm of His hand. And the Bible tells me, thank God He'll sustain us in time of trouble. He'll give us peace. How do you do it? How do you do it? How do you make it through troubles? And how do you make it through trials? How do you manage to readjust and realign your life when you lose a loved one that you spent your entire life with? I guarantee you, brother, you ask some people who's been through that, they'll tell you it's the peace of God. If it wasn't for that, you'd go crazy. You'd pull your hair out. You'd wind up on Skid Row. But thanks be unto God, we have the peace of God. And if you don't have the peace of God, you might still be in your sins. It's something inside of you that you can't explain. The Bible said the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Paul said that. Sitting in a jail cell. He's writing that out. He was sitting in a jail cell when he said, Timothy, preach the book, son. Lay it on them. Skin them from Dan to Beersheba. Let them have them both barrels. He said, my time has come. He said, I'm ready to be offered. And he said he couldn't see very well. And he's writing it down. They're sharpening up the axe to cut off his head. Oh, but he had such peace way deep down in his soul. But I want to tell you something today. There is nothing on this planet that will give you peace like the peace you'll have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get it nowhere else. Amen. Y'all might not feel like listening. I'm starting to feel like preaching. Paul said that. He said, I fought a good fight. My departure's at hand. He said, I'm ready to check out of here. And he said, I fought a good fight. Amen. He said, I've warred with the devil from the day I got saved. He said, it ain't been nothing but a fight. What do you expect it to be? Amen. Ain't ice cream social. We're in a war, brother. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Glory be unto God, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love is appearing. He said, so them other prisoners might have been sitting around there looking at him, sitting over a little feeble, all shriveled up, little old man with big old thick glasses, writing down on a piece of parchment with tears running down his face. Every once in a while he'd raise his head and say, Lord, I'm ready. God, I'm ready to come on home to be with you. Thank God, that's the peace that only Jesus can give. He said, preacher, I'm saved, but I always have this unrest and this uneasiness. You might not be saved. I just quoted it to you. He said it's in Philippians. He said it's a peace which passeth all understanding. I can't understand it. I can't understand how a man can lose every dime he's got and lose his business and lose his home and even lose his wife and lose his health and still say, I've got such peace in my heart. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know how he slides it in, but thank God, I'm glad he does. I'm glad, brother, when it's all said and done and when the tire meets the pavement, thank God, I'm glad that we have peace with God and we have the peace of God. You're yet in your sins if you have no peace. I'll tell you something else. You're yet in your sins if you have no persecution. You can live any way you want to, go anywhere you want to, do whatever you want to. And if you never be chastened or never have a problem, you're probably still yet in your sins. Right? Let me tell you what's wrong with Christianity today. Christian people want Hollywood religion. They want to get saved and have everything and have it all and go to heaven on top of it and never have to suffer, never have to have one tribulation, not one trial, not one thing go wrong. Everybody love you. Everybody carry you around on the shoulders and cheer and holler and have a big party, have a big parade. But I got bad news for you, son. It just ain't like that. It ain't going to happen. Jesus said they hated the prophets and they killed them. He said they hate me and they're going to hate you. It ain't going to be popular, but it's right. Say you don't hear them talk about that in Congress or the Senate or in the Supreme Court about right and wrong. They just talk about their stupid opinions. Yeah, right. Amen. That makes me mad. I tell you, I think that jackass that Balaam was riding got more sense than the Supreme Court does. A jackass wouldn't tell you to kill your own youngin'. Don't get hung up on me now, bless God. I'm just getting ready to start preaching. I'm telling you, brother, our country's messed up, and we Christian people, we ought to get used to the idea of persecution. Well, preacher, they laugh at me at work. That's a good sign. They know you're different, and they know you ain't going to participate in their shenanigans, so they're going to make fun of you. They'll laugh at you, snicker. Laugh at you because you got a bumper magnet on your car. And they'll laugh at you because you drop your head at lunch and put your head down and pray over your meal. And all the girls over here will snicker. All the cheerleaders will laugh at you because you girls are praying over your food. But you know what? Let them laugh. Go ahead and let them laugh because that's just another star in your crown. Hey, man, that's just another emerald or another ruby that you're getting in your crown for just a little bit of persecution. 1 Timothy 3:12 said, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So get rid of this notion that everybody's going to like you and it's going to be popular. The Bible said, woe unto the man that every man speaks well of. Right? So you know you're going to be like, you will not be loved by the world. You will not be loved sometimes by your own friends. Sometimes you won't even be loved by your own blood kin. But I'll tell you one thing, if you'll stand for what's right and you'll live for Jesus and you'll just suffer for Him and you'll live by this book, brother, you'll come out right on the other end. There is a payday coming. Sometimes that's the only thing that keeps us going, Brother Sam, knowing there's a payday. There's a payday. Number four, you're yet in your sins if you have no presence. If you have no presence. The Bible said, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have. For He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's where peace comes from. I was talking about a while ago. It comes from His presence. Have you ever been just riding down the road before and you listen to a good Christian CD or a song come on a gospel station and just something just comes alive inside of you. I've had it happen before. Me and hers had it happen. Just had to pull off the side of the road and cry and shout a little while. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, if you don't ever feel the presence of God or have the presence of God in your home, in your life, in your personal life, in your prayer time, listen, that's a good indication that you still may be yet in your sins. Y'all know what happened to Job? That news going into all that. Everybody knows what happened to him. Job said, Job 121, he said, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We go on down to Job 13:15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. On down to Job 19:25, he said, For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Listen, brother and sister, I'm glad that we have the presence. Job did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit like you do. He didn't have him living inside of him like we do under the New Testament economy. Under grace, we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. The Holy Spirit used to just come down at different intervals, and sometimes God would speak audible. But Job had faith. He had the presence of God. The presence of God sometimes will be found in your faith. Sometimes it'll be found in your trials. Sometimes it'll be found in the deepest, darkest caverns of your life when you're going through the worst, loneliest, most terrible trial you've ever been through. Amen. That's when you'll feel His presence the most. Amen. Everybody here this morning that's got a little bit of age on you will agree with this statement. Everything valuable you've ever learned wasn't when you was on vacation or honeymoon. It was when you're in the valley. Amen. That's when you really felt His presence. I mean, I felt His presence. I feel Him this morning. I mean, we get near and have Jubilee, and when we have our Jubilee, man, this place is just thick. I mean, it's just moving, and God's moving through here. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, it may not be that way. Maybe you're somewhere, and you're having trouble, and you're by yourself, and you're having some kind of trial you're going through, and you really need the touch from heaven. It's easy to get caught up in the atmosphere when God's moving in a congregation. Oh, ain't it good when you're all by yourself and it's just me and Him, and He shows up and I know it's Him, and I know that there's no substitute for His presence. Well, that lets me know, thank God I know I'm saved. If you don't have the presence of God in your life, that's a good indicator you still may be yet in your sins. Number five, you're yet in your sins if you have no power. I remember, you might think this is funny. I remember how hard it used to be when we was kids. Remember when you teach them, give you a thing and say, you have to do a written report, and you're like, oh, or you should say, you got to do an oral report. Everybody's eyes get that big. You just about couldn't breathe. You just about faint when she told you. You have to get up in front of it wasn't about 15 or 20 other kids and read something. The dog ran out onto the pier. The little boy was fishing, and the dog jumped in the water. You're up there reading that. You're like, my God. And somebody looks at you. Some old granny woman looks at you and your kids and says, boy, one of these days God's going to have His hand on you. You're going to be a preacher. And you go, who? Not me. Not me, Grandma. You just ate too much barbecue before you went to bed. I ain't going to be no preacher. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, listen, brother. You say, how in the world you do that? Listen, before I got saved, brother, I couldn't get up and give a report. I couldn't get up and tell you what the weather's going to be. I couldn't tell you if the sun's shining or if it's dark or whatever. But I'm telling you, God will give you power. That's like some of you get up here and sing in the choir and sing a whole verse without any help. Brother, that's the power and the presence of God. You can't do that on your own. If you're saved, you have the power of God on your life. The disciples were afraid, and they were in hiding until after the resurrection, and they were still in hiding until the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost came down, and the power of God got on them. You know why people go on visitation? They have no power in their life. They don't have the power of God. That's why they're scared to go knock on a door. But when you get the power of God on you, you go looking for sinners. We was at a youth rally one time in a church in North Carolina. There must have been 1,200 or 1,400 people there. A bunch of them kids got stirred up that night. Brother Sam got on fire for God, and they grabbed every tract they could find, and about 200 or 300 kids, and they started hitting all them little eating joints in a little tiny town. Man, they scared up, just about scared everybody out of the county. I mean, it's like an army. But you know why they did that? Because at that moment in their life, they had the power of God on them, and God's power will give give you the ability to do some things that you thought you'd never do. Preacher, there's no way I can get up in front of people and talk. There's no way I can get up and hold a microphone and sing. There's just no way. Oh, yeah, there's a way. Hey, you didn't think I could come out of the womb preaching, did you? Amen. It took a while. My mama did used to say this. She said, Lord, Ronnie, you got such a loud, strong voice, you bound to be going to be a preacher. Anybody holler like that? I could holler, people could hear me plumb across the Mississippi. I'd call the cows in, the dogs, the horses, my brother and sister. Sometimes even the neighbor's kids would come home. Amen. Number six, I'll be done in just a minute. But number six, you're yet in your sins if you have no praise. Somebody said it like this, today's churches are filled with spiritual bums, like street people. They want to hand out. They don't want to work for it. Don't want to do nothing. Just want to come to church. I'll come to church, preach. You let the choir sing. You preach a little bit. Pat me on the back, and I'll go my way. But listen, brother, you ought to have some praise about you. If you have no praise in you, I know everybody don't scream and holler and jump on the pews and run the aisles and everything. I understand that. But they ought to be somewhere, sometime in your worship, some praise of some kind. Clap your hands or raise your hand to God or say amen or nod your head or do something. I always thought it was peculiar people just go to church, sit there like this. Now, a lot of times when I'm preaching, people's doing this. I've been here almost 4 years, and some people still do that. I don't know if they're figuring out what's he going to do next. Is he going to take his shirt off and flex his muscle? What's he going to do? I'm going to scare all the kids off. Amen. But listen, you have no praise for God because you're yet in your sin. People that's against praise and worship. There's somebody on a website the other day heard one of my messages and they're complaining because how loud I holler. They don't even go to church here. You don't have to listen to me preach if you don't want to. How crazy is that? But I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't preach to 10,000 people and whisper. You think I'll holler? You ought to hear them guys. You imagine being on that little boat, 10,000 people sitting up on the hillside, having to get all them people to hear you. He didn't get up there and say, the pearl of great price. Oh, no. He got up there hollering, repent of your sin. And the Bible said they praised him because they had the power of God in their lives and they were saved. And I'll say this last of all, number seven. Ye are yet in your sins if you have no prayers. If God never answers a prayer, and I know God don't ever... God don't answer every prayer you pray. Some things ain't His will, He don't answer it. But you ought to have a prayer life where every now and then you can say, praise God, there's another. Like Miss Shirley was talking about a while ago, praise God, ain't you glad God answered that prayer? Well, that was close. You ever had it happen? All the time, every week, every month. I mean, somewhere along the line, you ought to have a prayer life that's consistent with God doing something in your life. And if you never see any of your prayers answered, the Bible said, and I think it's John 9:31, we know that God heareth not sinners. We know that God heareth not sinners. Think about it. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him he heareth. God will hear your prayers if you worship right. Well, preacher, I've been praying. Now, there's some things you can pray about for years. It takes a long, long time. Some things you pray about tomorrow, it'll be answered. But I'm just saying, if you have no prayer life, and if your prayer life don't ever produce anything, that's scary. Let me give you this one verse of Scripture, and we'll close. Isaiah 59 said this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's not that God can't hear you. It's not that His arm's short. It's not it. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. It's not that God can't hear. He just won't hear. You ever notice how sometimes you, husbands, you ever notice your wife will tune you out? Wives, you ever seen your husband tune you out? They're on a different frequency. You ever seen your kids tune you out? Say something to them, they don't even hear you. They hear you, but they don't hear you. That's the way the Lord is. When you got sin in your life, I ain't going to listen to you to get that cleared up. You're yet in your sins if you have no prayer life. Let's stand this morning.